The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Jason Donovan, single, sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson, suburban song. Crying the nose. That guy Terry off the word Ruby Wang. Mr. B. Terry Needle.
And welcome to an extraordinary, yes, extraordinary edition of Room 101. It's a kind of distant echo of the famous time they surprised Eamon Andrews for This Is Your Life. Room 101, as you know, for the few hollow-eyed steps who haven't listened to this award-winning programme, will know it is the George Orwell Room 101 from 1984, where your worst things, fears, fantasies, films and records are all locked away with you. The question is, what do you want to take, and will I allow them? I can say I, Danny Baker, because this is a unique occasion whereby the usual host of Room 101, Nick Hancock, is actually having the tables turned and will be the subject. Well, enough of our yakking. On to the first item. It's a musical item. Right.
This is Sheep, isn't it? I think it's that Bar Bar Black Sheep by The Sheep.
That was Bar Bar Black Sheep by The Singing Sheep. That's a real record, is it?
That is a real... There's a number of reasons. I mean, obviously, it's just bad, one, but that isn't enough. And the fact that The Sheep did Bar Bar Black Sheep, I mean, you've got to think that they've worked out that they've got built-in obsolescence there. They've set themselves up to be one-hit wonders. Where do you go from after Bar Bar Black Sheep by The Sheep?
Well, there was a second side to this vehicle, wasn't there?
Yeah, didn't they? What did they do on the second
side? Well, let's have a listen to the other side of Bar Bar Black Sheep if we can. That was Flock Around the Clock, and that is the other side. You never went as far as getting onto that.
I'm very saddened that you are a tragic enough figure to have wanted to listen to the other side. But what I always think about things like this is, it's acceptable, you see, it's acceptable very late at night when you're very drunk to think, you could do a song, couldn't you, right, where it was all just sound effects of sheep. It's okay as a whimsical thought.
Yeah.
But to do it is not okay.
Even worse than that is the fact that, as we know, these aren't sheep singing. What we've got is some grisly old ex-Mike Oldfield sidekick engineer sitting there pressing keyboards. It's not even, I don't want to disillusion you here, but that's not actually real sheep. That's an electronic effect.
The horribleness goes on and on.
So on that count, I'm not going to allow Bar Bar Black Sheep, nor its B-side.
Flock Around the Clock.
Nor even if you produce an LP, Nick, I'm not going to allow that.
Well, it's not really my fault. You see, it would have got in if the producer had managed to find the record I wanted, which was Don't Forget the Old Folks This Christmas by Bill Waddington, who plays Percy Stugson on Coronation Street.
But we didn't have that. We did a Bar Bar Black Sheep. I'm not allowing that. However, I do recognise the second name on your record list here. Let's have a little listen and see if it comes back to the listeners.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Too busy driving children in Chile and helping plot victims on the other side of the world. And when the war was over in Vietnam, you had 3 adopted boys and 5 adopted girls. Johnny first with 2 puzzles when they're starving in Afghanistan, India, Kenya, or anywhere really. I think some grand puppy by the time on the street. It's just a story of fast, but not as fast as your feet. You're too busy fighting your irrelevant battles to see what's going on in your own backyard.
Having a
haven't heard that
time.
For a very, very long time. Tell us who it is.
It's actually great. It's Patrick Fitzgerald in Irrelevant Battles. It's quite good to listen to it again.
I know, you're falling down terribly on your own show here. Two superb top choice records to kick off with.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, why particularly then, Patrick?
Well, apart from the, you know, the obvious awful lyric, you're too busy saving children in Chile. And what was that one about Kenya?
In Kenya or anywhere.
It's not that. It's that when I was the age that I was when that came out, I thought, yeah, good point, Patrick, actually, yeah. I am too busy fighting my irrelevant battles to know what's going on in my own backyard, and I hate myself so much for the fact that so many lyrics I listened to when I was 15, 16 and 17, I thought, that's changed my life.
That's it.
And now when I look at it, I think, that's awful.
Yeah.
I just remember being at school and just reciting lyrics to each other, you know, and saying, what about that, in that Genesis song from Land Miles Down on Broadway? Here comes the supernatural anaesthetist. If he wants you to snuff it, all he has to do is puff it. He's such a fine dancer. And I used to think, I'm not quite sure what it means, but I'm sure if I did know what it meant, my life would be richer.
Well, I think what it meant was that Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel were around a table like the one we're at now in the studio, and an engineer was saying, fellas, I don't want to hurry you up, in half an hour we're all getting out of here, so you've got some lyrics for us, I'll put Puff It in, and that's the way it went forward.
But I've actually brought something in to just compound my error. Mm-hmm. Not only did I like these things when I was 15 and 16, I used to try and write them as well.
No, that's right, man.
And I have dug out two songs that I wrote when I was a guilt-ridden 15-year-old.
Is this the first time they will be heard by a wide audience?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Obviously, no bands would ever have done them.
Mm-hmm. He's come from your soul. Yeah.
Billy was a good boy when he went to school. Never broke a window, never broke a rule. Billy liked to dance, Billy liked to drink, Billy stopped to work, Billy stopped to think. Wait for it. Vodka in his school bag, whiskey in his heart, gin in his locker, tore his life apart.
Oh, no!
Tell me this was in the gig.
Yeah.
And where did he go? Where are you going? Billy calmly lied. Going for a swim, Mum. Verdict, suicide.
Ah,
isn't that a cautionary tale?
It's a cautionary tale. Hey? And
all you kids are thinking of going into hard liquor.
Especially at Christmas time, when, of course, many are tempted to... don't take the car. That's what we're saying here. Nick, carry on.
No, I'm not even going to read the other one.
What's the title of it?
Dreamland.
No, don't read anything called Dreamland. Right. I don't think it is. Pete Sinfield got there first. I'm allowing Patrick
to my poems go in as well, so that they never have to see the light.
I thought they were one and the same thing. Patrick certainly wouldn't go without them. This is new act. He's in there. Patrick Fitzgerald is in there. I believe we get the effect of something being slammed in a door now, don't we? What else is in there, by the way?
Child is born.
That's Cliff, presumably, is that it?
I think that might have been Chris.
Yes, that was his big, is it a big Christmas attempt last year?
Well, he may have put out a track called Child is Born in the middle of the summer, but I tend to think that was probably a Christmas record. From what used to be called, laughingly, vinyl, onto the printed word now. The most hated book. An esoteric choice, but obviously one that has a lot of meaning for you. Do you want to tell us what it is?
It's got a lot of meaning, sadly. I thought most hated book and I couldn't think of it. It's got a little meaning. Isn't
enough? Well, I want to hear it.
Okay, it's the 1992 Michelin Guide to France. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a story about the Michelin. The Michelin is a very, very big employer in Stoke-on-Trent, which hasn't got a mention in the show.
I was wondering
so
how far into the show.
And, you know, up until 1974, Stoke City used to kick off at 3:15, right, instead of 3 o'clock, because the shift at the Mitch finished at 3, and it gave them a quarter of an hour to get down, which is why I thought I could trust the Michelin guy, because I thought, you know, they've got their roots in Stoke, really. They're not a French firm at all. And I get out there, and I think, I'm going to go to France, and I'm going to go to lots of really nice hotels and lots of really nice restaurants, you see. And I get there, and they're all crossroads. Everywhere I went was crossroads.
What do you mean, crossroads?
They were all, like, just purpose-built, Trust House 40.
Oh, I was
completely horrible hotels, and I had a holiday.
You had a holiday? Yeah,
so
really?
Nothing.
It's a dead personal thing. It's a reminder of a bad thought. But is it enough?
No, it's enough.
I outrank you. I am the host of this show, and you're going to have to bite your lip. So in goes the Michelin 1992 Guide to France.
From the point of view of a personal person outside my professional career, I'd say I'm very easygoing. I think that is one of my attributes, really.
It's Mansell, obviously.
It's Mansell. Well spotted, sir. Mansell's
a lovely man.
Joined by the Michelin guy, but of course he won't need. Sorry, Nick, I've got a sense of humour.
Hey.
Going on to television programme. We've got three choices here. The first one is kind of all-embracing. It says anything on MTV. Mm-hmm. Why?
MTV, well, because when I got cable, which I thought was going to change my life, because I thought I'd be able to sit in and watch television
every day,
and then sure enough, all the little sketch shows were right. There's no more choice because most of the stuff on it's rubbish. But MTV was the most disappointing thing of all because, as far as I can tell, they only own 4 videos and they just play them over and over and over and over again. And if they play I Can't Dance by Genesis once more, I'm going to go round to the MTV building and I'm going to firebomb it.
Which was the advice I remember Chrissy Hynde giving about McDonald's once. So you're a gal after her own height. Oh, no, I'm not allowing that. I'm not allowing MTV because they did a rather wonderful Michael Jackson weekend recently.
Did they?
Yes, and my little boy liked that. So for sentimental reasons alone, I'm not allowing anything on MTV.
That's entirely fair.
On to number B, which I believe we have a snip of music to remind us of, yeah? Now, possibly Allman Brothers Live in concert, but that was only shown once. This is a repeating show, of course, The Top Gear. Why Top Gear?
Top Gear. Cars. Just don't understand it. Don't understand why people would be interested in cars. Find that most of the people I know who are interested in cars are sad, empty, soulless individuals.
Yep.
And the fact that there's a programme on about liking cars is...
It's beyond my ken.
Have you ever watched it?
No. It's a programme watched by people who buy turtle wax to polish their car on a Sunday.
Yeah. Do you drive, by the way?
Yeah.
Me too, but I have no interest in it. No. We have a common one. I'm allowing Top Gear because that is a common choice with me. It all balances on your third choice, the Queen's Speech. Mm.
The Queen's Speech, right? It's incredibly boring. But what I object to most about the Queen's Speech is she doesn't say anything relevant to Christmas Day, you see. Mm. What I want the Queen to come on and do on the Queen's Speech is tell you what she got. And who got them for her, and what she gave the kids, and if anyone got pissed up the night before. She should be giving tips on what to do with the leftover turkey and things like that, just showing her human side.
Or saying, you know, that generation game just before I came on, not up to much, was it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And saying, still, I still enjoy the Top of the Pops.
Pops, but really, that Wogan series is limping on. I know what you mean. General chat.
She lets herself down.
Not allowing it, because she's suffered enough.
Okay.
And so, out of your TV programmes, two I didn't allow, one I did. It's not enough. So you're going to have to live with those a little longer in the fresh and open.
If you're listening, Your Majesty, will you bear that in mind for this year?
Okay, on to the next one, which is a little more upbeat and a little more upmarket. Now, just stop dancing for a second and sit down and talk us through that again.
This is a great, great, great song, and I love it to death. I think it's brilliant. I think it's superbly produced. I think it's got everything going for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to go in Room 101 just for one little bit of the lyric in the middle, which I'm afraid cannot be allowed. Because it's got all those brilliant bits where Isaac Hayes goes, who's the black cat who's a sex machine with all the chicks? Mm-hmm. And then the girls go, Shaft. And he goes, can you dig it? And things like that, okay? And then suddenly he says in the middle, he says, they say this cat Shaft is a bad mother, right? And the girls go, shut your mouth. And he goes, not talking about Shaft. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, you can't do that. That's primary school lying. That's like, I don't like magpie, I do, yes, so do I. I mean, no, Isaac, no. But they take it in. They say this cat Shaft is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Not talking about Shaft. Then we can dig it.
Then we can dig it.
Yeah.
You see, this cat Shaft is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Well, come on, Shaft.
Not allowing it, Nick. I think if you look too closely with a jeweller's eyepiece at any of the lyrics in pop history, you can come up with stuff like that. Although, thanks for bringing it to my attention. Plus, my first girlfriend, her favourite album, Isaac Hayes' Joy, 18 minutes of slow music, and during the 18 minutes, we covered an awful lot of ground. So, for my memories and for your jeweller's eyepiece, I'm just allowing it. To a place.
A place.
A place. I take it, given your growing obsession throughout this programme, as it will be revealed, this is the footballing St Andrews and not the golfing St Andrews.
You know, you are entirely wrong in every important regard. Well done.
St Andrews, what?
No, St Andrews in Scotland, Top Gear. I put them in the same bracket because people who like to buy turtle wax for their car, they play golf.
Mm.
Now, to me, golf, like American football and ice dance and tennis, they're not sports, you see.
Are you married, Nick?
No.
Will you marry me? Because it's entirely my own fault. Entirely. I mean, you know.
Golf is not a sport.
No.
Okay, so that's why I hate St Andrews, because St Andrews is the home of golf.
Never been there, I take it.
Good Lord, no, and I believe it's a beautiful place. Golf ruins my chance to visit this beautiful seaside town because I daren't go there.
And do you ever get that sick feeling in your gut? When one by one, people you love, respect, you see them again, it's like the Stepford Wives. You might see them after a period of a year, and they say, take it up golf, nothing to
and
do
they start dressing it up and saying, no, honestly, it's really good, and you know, you can play at your own level. No! Stop it!
Start doing...
If anybody out there is about to leave their home to go to a shop to buy any golf equipment, don't do it.
Mm.
You can fight this.
There is nothing else I can say about this, and open up the biggest, the largest, and heaviest of these doors and toss this disgraceful location in there, St Andrews.
This is my boss, Jonathan Hart, a self-made millionaire.
Mean to Heart to Heart mean anything to you?
And that's Max, isn't it? That's their faithful manservant.
Okay, back to the music. I mentioned this, I think obsession is not too strong a word, with God's Own Game. The next couple of clips of music are both footballers.
What a life this game of soccer is. My life is so. Live it, breathe it, and take it home each night. On top of the world one day, then suddenly you're right back down to earth. The team becomes
sounds like a bump, and you're one of them.
Well, there's a... cheap comedians say, aye, aye, it's Gordon Banks. Mm. So, Gordon Banks is We'll Be Together there.
I've gone a bit quiet and a bit thoughtful because it's like the old adage, never meet your heroes. As people become more famous, they're going to let themselves down, aren't they? Mm. They're going to do something that you think, oh, why did you have to do that?
Mm.
Gordon really should have lost the use of his vocal cords just before going in to record this, and he could have retained some stature. He could have retained some self-respect. But the man who dived so athletically to the foot of the post...
Just say that save.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, to flick Pelé's leaping header over the bar, a supreme moment in sport, and then there he is, preserved forever on vinyl, saying... This game of football is like life itself.
Yeah.
And the team's like a family, and you're one of them. To say it slowly, Gordon, doesn't make it mean anything more.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, and it's crap.
And there is that. You see, you've hedged around it, you've hit the nail squarely on the head. When was this? Do we know?
Yeah, well, tragically, it's a follow-up single to the Stoke City 1972 League Cup single, We'll Be With You.
I know, well, I'm not going to allow Gordon Banks. I'm going to be tough all round on your football choices, for obvious reasons. I have a clinical eye on these things, and as does Gordon.
What
Gordon
about the other one?
The other one? Now, the other one, I haven't heard this. I think I might have caught a whiff of it as I walked into the studio, and if it's that one, I think you're in.
You've heard of Grace and Pushkas and Harry from Brazil, but sadly nothing's from the pots, the greatest of them all. And indeed, Mars is true, Mars are building on to lie. And if you've been down through the road, you see the same as I.
Now, there's a number of things I have to say about this record.
Mm, all of them concerning Stoke, right?
Yeah, yes,
yes.
All of them concerning Stoke. right, this is the Keele University rag record for 1963 about Stanley Matthews, the Stoke City player. Okay. Now, first of all, I'd like to say to anybody who supports Port Vale, I can't see the students of North Stafford University now, cobbling together a rag record about Neil Aspin. Okay, so that's first and foremost. That we had a player of such stature that a group of Ponzi students still went out and made a rag record about him. That's a good thing, you see? But it's bad for the same reason as Isaac Hayes, because it has two terrible pieces of lyricism in it. There's that one you've just heard, which is, you've heard of Greaves and Puskas and Pelé from Brazil, but Stanley Matthews from the Pots was the greatest of them all. Now, a mistake there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what you've got to remember is these are young minds that we one day hope will go on to run the country. I don't know who was at Keele University at that time. They certainly weren't, well, they probably were studying English, but they don't understand about rhyming. And I'm not having assonance. It doesn't happen. Brazil and all don't rhyme now. They didn't rhyme in 1963. And I'll argue with anyone that says the language is in flux. I don't believe they'll ever rhyme. Okay?
A winger from Nepal would have counted, but not Brazil. You're absolutely right. And there's a but worse to come, yeah?
Worse to come, the last verse of all.
Dan Matthews scored against Luton Town, the goal and won promotion. They say you can hear the noise of the crowd as far away as Boston. And indeed, Mars is true, Mars is
a building on to life. He said it as soon as he can. So maybe they weren't English students, maybe they were geography students. But no, the roar of the crowd, I love the club, I believe it was a great day. They did not hear it in Buxton. It's not true. It did not happen at all. So promotion and Buxton again.
That's the thing.
They do not rhyme.
I love the shamefaced way he gets over Buxton. And he didn't really hear that. Buxton, and carries on.
Pun? No.
So this, again, dates from when was it you say?
1963.
63? 63,
yeah.
Well, it was technically, if you like, the pre-Beatles era, so I'm not going to allow it because people knew no better then. So I'm not allowing that nod.
Okay.
Moving on to Celluloid, and I must say I don't know this at all, and I fancy I know a little about film. Three Hats for Lisa.
Mm. Okay, Three Hats for Lisa was a film that I watched inadvertently one afternoon in the way that you can do, usually when you've got work to do.
Of course.
And you're sort of watching out of the corner of one eye, and then you find you're engaged by it. How, I don't know, in the case of this. But once I'd seen it, I couldn't escape it. It seemed to be on all the time. Everywhere I looked, Three Hats for Lisa was on. Now, this is the plot. It's like the sheep thing. Okay, it's a whimsical idea, but to do it, no. Italian film star visits London and wants to add to her collection of hats with a bowler, a bearskin, and a police constable's helmet. She befriends a cabbie, Sid James, and a cockney, Joe Brown, and his girlfriend, Eunice Stubbs. They sing. That's it. I mean, no, that's not a film. And you think of the people who sat down and crafted the script for Deer Hunter or something like that. And then somebody else can come up with this, and it gets made, you know?
For some budget, I should imagine. You know, there was a lot of location work in and around London, I take it, wasn't
there? Oh, no, I don't think
so.
In and around a small studio set at Pinewood, I think. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, it's a musical, and I hate musicals.
All musicals?
Oh, yes. How can it be allowed to just suddenly have lots of people all know the words to the song and can all dance in the same way? I can't suspend my disbelief far enough to ever believe a musical or enjoy
it. And yet here's a man who stood amongst 24,500 others at the Victoria Ground and sang exactly the same words with exactly the same as it. That happens. Can you not put it onto New York City streets and call it West Side Story? I think I'm going to disallow it, Nick.
No.
I think you're saying black 1 minute and white the next. Person. This is always my favourite category on 101. Most hated person. Not too controversial a choice looking down it, but let's hear the reasons. Starting with Billy Bell.
Yeah, when I came to person, I just found that I couldn't distance myself from my very strong feelings. Billy Bell is the chairman of Port Vale Football. I don't know whether I can get away with saying these things without calling a lawyer. What does it have to say? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
He's a sad man, allegedly, and he's a parochial man, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And if that makes me sad and parochial to think of him that way, then that's fine. I'm happy to be sad and parochial.
That's gut reaction. I think that's what 101's about. I think whenever I've listened to this show, I like people who say that, you know, and that doesn't help you, but they say, I can't expand on this, but you have to believe me that, you know, give me the gun and I'll finish the job.
Mm.
Pretty much how you feel about Mr. Bell.
Yeah, really.
Mm.
And then there's Mr. Dolby, who's my geography.
Mr. Dolby?
Yeah, he's my geography teacher. He split up me and David Cooper, and we used to have such brilliant times during geography, and he ended that. And I thought I learnt a lot more off David than I ever did off Mr. Dolby, so I think he arrested my development.
What did he look like?
What did he? He looked a little bit like Henry Kissinger with glasses. Did Henry Kissinger have glasses?
He had glasses.
Well, there you go, then. He looked like Henry Kissinger.
Do you still keep in touch with the pal he split you up with?
Yes, I do, yeah. But not Mr. Dolby, you see.
No.
If he'd not split us up, I may have still been mates with him.
Yeah. Who teachers aren't like that anymore, you know? It's terribly sad. Now, the teachers aren't good and vicious and spiteful like they used to be, and you knew where you stood. So I like the Dolby. So, again, I'll buy Billy Bill, but I like reminiscences about people called Dolby who split kids up for no other reason.
Yeah, it's a good name as well, isn't it?
However, a fictional scene.
Scrappy Doo, you see. Now, I loved Scooby Doo, and I grew up with Scooby Doo, and Scooby Doo's my mate, you know what I mean?
Longest running cartoon series in the world.
I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lyric there was, we couldn't have a show without you.
Yeah.
And that's true. But we could have a show without Scrappy Doo. We don't need Scrappy Doo.
Yeah.
Scrappy Doo is a gatecrasher in this great drama.
And he talks.
Deceit. Oh, please. He doesn't go, Gubbidap.
No.
He talks. Ruby Roo. Scrappy Doo offends my sense of theatre.
You hated persons. Yes, Scrappy Doo. Yes, Billy Bill. No, Mr. Dolby. Therefore, they qualify. Yes. But I think you'll find waiting on the other side of the most hated person is, well, listen to this.
And Martin Foyle is at his second goal of the night. Port Vale 3, Stoke City 1.
There are some things that are funny. There are some surprises that are welcome. The look on your face as that happened means you don't even want to ad-lib around that, do you? Moving on to Johnny...
Never mind moving on.
A very funny clip of a recent event.
Never mind Christmas spirit.
Maybe we missed...
Cruel.
Maybe we misheard it. Maybe... Can we hear that again? Maybe we misheard it.
You
And Martin Foyle is at his second goal of the night. Port Vale 3, Stoke City 1.
Sunshine, playing that again. You just signed your death warrant.
Never mind your fatwas. Hell hath no fury. You've met our tape operator, Mr. Bell. Okay. So, getting the colour back to your cheeks, let's have a little music to soothe your savage breath.
Okay. Right, we should be out boozing, shouldn't we? Our pal going. Hello, someone's been stabbed. Like, we want to see every pogo get into things, you know, sort of, you know, get it together, you know what I mean? Like, do you know what bludgeons are? They're sort of sticks which crack a poor skull, blow skull open, okay? And basically, I've got one backstage of anybody that start pogoing and dancing and all that. So, let's go, okay? We got a pogo for this number. Basically, it's called Our Loving Man.
Well, the late Sammy Davis Jr. at the London Palladium. No, Johnny Moped's Hard Loving Man.
Basically, yeah.
Basically.
I love that. I actually don't mind the song too much. I quite like Hard Loving Man. But I love that intro.
That intro, and it just reminds me of that time. And the reason that I'm putting it forward is because I never quite had the bottle to be a punk. I wasn't even a Saturday punk. I was like a 3 weeks next Tuesday punk. I was too pathetic, really.
Yeah, too involved in the Petra Fitzgerald side of things.
I was too poetic, I thought, and I was wrong. Mm. Actually, I wish I had been, because I want to say I was the right age, which I was, and I was a punk. But in fact, I say I was the right age, and...
Well, Genesis always
kind
of good men.
Seconds Out, I bought Trouble by Sailor.
But so did we all, but we kept it well hidden. We were more honest than the rest of us. Yeah, we did. Yeah. But I'm not going to allow Johnny Moped, because I have very good times, and they did write Darling, Let's Have Another Baby.
And is the other reason you're not going to allow Johnny Moped, because you've run out of sound effects for Doors now?
No, certainly not. Johnny Moped, they wrote Darling, Let's Have Another Baby. I'll be quite happy to wash and change its nappy. If ever you would leave me, I'd cry a million tears. I'd go to the nearest boozer and drink 10 pints of beers. That was another of their lyrics. Yeah, you can't catch me on the lyric game. Anyway, Nick, I think that does bring us to the end of your selection, does it not? It could have been me talking. That's the highest compliment I can pay to your selection.
It was most of the time.
Nonsense. Oh, dear Pop, thanks for your letter to the kettle.
So what did I get in the end then?
Well, looking down the list, yes, I allowed Patrick Fitzgerald because of your earlier gaucherie it reminded you of. 1992 Michelin Guide to France, just because France is mentioned in that. We went on to say St. Andrews and all that golf embroils. And yes, of course golf. Any mention of golf will take you in there. And finally, your people. You scored with Scrappy Doo. You scored with the chairman of Port Vale. What sound effect did we play after that? I can't remember. What actually came in after that?
Perhaps three times
is over-egging the pudding. But otherwise, an excellent selection, Nick. As I said at the top of the show, Nick, you are an award winner now for this program. It says here on this thing you're wearing around your neck. If I could just take it off for you for a second. There it is. This, it says here, huge thing. Best New Performer Radio Comedy, Nick Hancock, Room 101. For what it's worth, I clapped louder than anyone in the room when you got that. Long may you continue to do it.
You're the only one who clapped in the room.
There was that. Yes, there was that. But and your producer, Lisa Evans, of course, who I may mention at this point for today's programme and all the rest. Long may you run, and long may Room 101 continue to haunt its participants. Thank you very much, and a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.